Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, and welcome to this chilled episode.
Welcome to this chilled episode.
You're listening to I Hate Your Movie.
After Dark.
With Dan and Rick. No, you are listening to I Hate Your Movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell.
I can confirm. Rick is hungover. I am...
sleep deprived.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
This is a movie podcast where we inflict movies upon each other for entertainment purposes.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. This week, we watched the absolute box office sensation, Top Gun Maverick. It had a budget of $170 million. It made $1.49 billion mm-hmm. at the box office. It has a 8.2 rating on IMDb and a 96% Rotten Tomatoes score. Everyone loves this film. Everyone in the entire world
this
loves
is a trap.
This film.
This is a trap.
So Dan, what did you think of this film?
First of all, PSA, this is a trap.
This PSA? Is
a public safety announcement.
Okay.
Don't listen to the misinformation. This was a setup. Rick found the movie that most liked by other people, at least gonna be liked by me.
I genuinely had some hope that you would enjoy this film a little bit.
How long have you known me?
Yeah, but there's some like cheesy films, you know. I put this film in the same level as like Commando. Like there's nothing to Commando. It's your very obvious basic plot done well.
There's nothing to laugh in this. It's just joyless.
It's not. It's certainly not joyless.
My one-sentence review is bottom gun Bedrick. And that's the exact amount of thought that the scriptwriter put into the script of this movie.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah.
It's a basic bitch script.
Mm.
It's a script that didn't need the Top Gun name. They've probably picked it up from anywhere.
They found it in a bin.
It was probably originally set on jet skis or something. And they've just, oh yeah, we'll just update it to fighter pilots.
We gotta go drop some bombs on this nuke, on the jet skis.
Nuclear submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only vehicle stealthy enough to get in there is jet skis.
Maybe it's like RC cars. Just remote controlled. But my thumb hurts. This movie combines everything I hate in a very neat package. That's what I think as a setup.
Miles Teller.
I like Miles Teller. I'm one of the only people who likes Miles Teller. And his mustache is the only entertainment I got from this movie. That's his own character, his mustache.
You mean the mustache that makes him related to his dad?
Yeah. So I hate plane or car porn.
Car porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Fast and the Furious.
It's barely about the cars anymore, come on.
Yeah, but I mean like Fast and Furious 1 and 2.
I don't think I've seen those ever.
What?
I probably wouldn't enjoy those. I like the more later, ridiculous ones.
Okay.
Only thing I know about the first one is that they steal DVD players, which is a hilarious. Just contrast that to the latest one where they run away from a giant bomb in Italy. Yeah, so yeah, the plane porn, the military sucking off and... hero worship and 40-year-old unnecessary sequels. I hate all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in one neat package, just sort of combined everything.
Did you not think, though, that like the way it was shot was super cool? Like, the shots from inside the cab. Like, you know the way Tom Cruise works?
Yeah.
And...
like a maniac?
At least they didn't look to me like they were on, like, a CGI screen in a little, like... tub.
Oh no, this movie is famous for that they use real planes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if for all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
No.
It'd be hard to make some of those G-force faces, naturally.
Do you remember when you were a kid, you had the big air gun thing?
Yeah.
You on elastic.
Yeah. Just pull out Tom Cruise's Botox. And then it makes that
his
face.
His whole face just flops to the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I certainly admire the craftsmanship.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought you'd enjoy about this.
It's just about planes, though. I just don't care. I'm not a manly man. I don't care about manly man things. Like military or playing.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought this film did a really good job of, like, you know, not having the American flag everywhere. You know, it was kind of, yes, it was military, but it was like about being the best more than it is about America.
It didn't promote a certain navy or military, but they promote militarism for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go into this foreign country and blow up their stuff.
I also thought they did a really good job of not naming any countries.
Yeah.
Most people in Hollywood writing this script, you know, they're flying through the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the set of Iron Man 1, you know, shooting the Ten Rings or whatever it is.
I don't know how to feel about that, because I like those terrible 80s movies where it's like, the Russian commies are coming, you know?
Yeah. But would you have liked that at the time, you know, when it's just such an easy target?
For like a simple film, yeah.
But this is a simple film.
Yeah, maybe it's too simple.
Okay.
I would...
You need the perfect level of simple.
Yeah.
You want half a glass of simple.
Yes. It felt a bit cowardice-ish. Like, you could make... And I think I heard... I haven't actually fact-checked this, so... You know, but I've heard...
This isn't the Movie Facts podcast.
No. If you didn't know that by now, you know. I've heard that they were supposed to be North Korea.
What?
Yeah.
They should have.
I mean, maybe it's hilarious that North Korea has this, like, super planes, but whatever. They should have gone with that. They're, like, very obvious. Just whatever. North Korea is the bad one. Because they are. It doesn't get more black and white than North Korea.
Why are you slagging off my boy Kim Jong-il? Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il? You're going back.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's the previous one. Yeah. You watched too much Team America World Police.
That's what we just watched, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Tom Cruise does look like a puppet. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't want the movie to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of picking a single enemy does have like a racist undertone. But I also don't want it to be like a coward. And I want it to just be unabashedly whatever. And I feel like even if it was more like America, I feel like I would like it more. Because it's cheesy. It didn't go all the way on the cheesiness factor.
I thought there was enough characters in it that it didn't really need that as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favourite things about this film.
Yeah.
Is the intro.
I hated the intro.
The intro was fantastic. Spoiler alert, by the way. I've never seen Top Gun 1.
Really?
I've never seen Top Gun 1.
It's way better than this.
Okay. The intro is like, in the US Navy put an elite team of fighter pilots together. It was called dot dot dot. I wonder what it's going to be called.
The A-Team.
It's called Top Gun, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Just in case you didn't know.
I didn't like the first intro sequence because it started out very weirdly. Where it started out with this elevator music. Like, and then you're like, as the plane porn is already happening on the screen, I feel like it should have started with the Top Gun song, whatever it's called.
Highway to the Danger Zone.
That's it, yeah. No, before that, for like a good solid minute or two, there's like...
Yeah, it's kind of like the film's waking up, you know.
No, get into it.
It's just pretty quickly, they're like... Highway to the danger zone.
It was like blue ballsing me about the best thing.
Well, there you go. That's what it's meant to do. Maybe teasy.
No.
No?
I want this movie to be cheesy and over the top and in your face. It has to start with that.
Yeah. So I thought the intro did a really good job. I think, obviously, there's two stories in this film. You know, there's the fact that these pilots are trying to be the best. And there's Tom Cruise, who's like just aged out and no one likes him because mm-hmm. he's too old. So I think this film does a really good job of introducing Tom Cruise, but with 80s music. So you're like, oh yeah, I remember this. And then you quickly realize as the film starts, well, actually no, because that was a long time ago. This guy that's kind of not relevant to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Also, does he live in an airport hangar?
I've got many questions with that because he's wearing the same jacket.
Yes.
He's riding the same motorbike and he's probably wearing the same underwear for the last 40 years. It's like Han Solo syndrome in Force Awakens.
I got the impression that it was like his lucky stuff. He only took that stuff out because his bike had a cover on it as well. So it doesn't get used every day.
Sure. His lucky underwear. He's been wearing for 40 years unwashed.
Still got the stains on it from the volleyball scene. By the way, if you're enjoying this episode, please hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. And we also have a Patreon.
Where for £1 or $1 a month, you can listen to bonus episodes that we do and also recommend us movies and join a great community of people. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie. It's also in the description box. Check it out. Thank you very much. So you are a practical person and you know things that are practical in real life.
Okay, I will take that.
Out of the two of us. Do you think they actually stop jets with like a rope?
They do, yeah.
That's fucking...
They definitely do.
That feels so weird and low tech.
Because how else are you going to do it? What are you going to do? Stop them with a laser?
I don't know, but it just felt so... Yeah, indeed, just... It felt so caveman-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's put a cartoon rope over it so it stops...
Yeah, yeah. It's too boring. Did you see they take off like that as well?
Yeah. I guess because the runway isn't big enough for the ship.
Exactly that.
But still, just, it's so odd.
Well, I'm sure it's a very, like, high-tech rope.
Yeah. Know?
It's a very well-designed and manufactured rope.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not just, like, down wicks getting the night of the cheap stuff.
What's the plan B if the rope fails? Is Tom Cruise going to put his feet out and go stop?
My favorite part about the start of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he, you know, he rides the motorbike down the motorway and he drives it into the hangar where the super expensive test plane is.
Yeah.
And just parks in front of it. Like, mate, there's a car park over there. Come on. So you got to take this thing out in a minute. Just park your bike there, you dickhead.
Your 40-year-old motorbike still uses leaded gasoline. You just lead poisoned everyone in the area.
Okay, so the test plane that they're in, they want to try and get it to Mach 10.
You say Mach, not Mach?
Well, you should probably say Mach.
But... Yeah.
I call it like the Razor.
10 Big Macs.
How fast do you think Mach 10 is?
I keep imagining Big Macs.
How fast can 10 Big Macs go if you put them in a fighter jet with Tom Cruise?
How fast can you get diabetes from 10 Big Macs?
From Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't had fat in like 50 years of his life, so it's just probably instant. His body's not used to crap food.
be like the Wizard of Oz. Mm. Which, I'm melting. All that's left is his Maverick jacket on the floor.
Or Veronica, whatever, in the Charlie and Chocolate Factory just blows up. And just floats away. Never see him again. So 10 marks.
How fast do you think Mach 10 is?
Well, that's 10 times the speed of sound, right? One mark is one times the speed of sound.
So yeah, how fast is the speed of sound then? Set yourself up like you knew that. Now you're regretting it.
I just know the conversion. Maybe 1,200 then.
7,672 miles an hour.
Wow. Yeah.
Would you like to take a second guess at kilometers per second?
This is the math question.
Welcome to the math podcast.
You got 5 seconds.
Yeah. What is 7,000 miles per hour in kilometers per second?
Can I phone a friend? Are you smarter than a 5 year old or fifth grader? Can I cheat from a little boy?
This is the GCSE maths final.
Yeah.
It's 3.4 kilometers per second.
Wow.
I have read this fact from Google. Facts in their quotes because Google's not a great reliable source. Hitting Mach 10 speeds at sea level will eventually smash the organs and skeleton of the pilot, turning the body into a bag of soup.
Yeah.
So.
All those G-forces, yeah.
It's unlikely Tom Cruise could handle that.
His clones can.
His clones can.
The one they breed in the Scientology factory.
Did you not like... Oh, God.
I didn't. I can tell you already.
Did you not like the shot? Because I thought it was a beautiful shot, to be honest. You could quite happily have it as my screensaver, and I'd be quite happy. That shot where it's, like, it's completely zoomed out of the Earth, and all you can see is his trail. I didn't understand why it was turning, personally, but...
Because you believe in flat Earth. Because the Earth is round.
Why the plane was turning.
Because the Earth is round, they can't just go into space.
Because it was turning like left and right, not up and down.
Okay.
It seems to me that, you know, if you're trying to go as fast as possible, you go in a straight line.
All right. Stop poisoning my brain with your flat Earth theories.
Never said it was flat Earth.
Rick believes in flat Earth.
But that was cool, right?
Yeah.
You said yes. You said yes, and then no. I'm meant to be yes. Of course, it's cool. No, it's meant to be the cynical one. No.
Yeah. I forgot my persona for a second. I'll give you this. The movie looked good. It's something Krasinski, the guy who did Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a competent filmmaker. I just wish he'd pick more interesting scripts.
He's never going to pick a more interesting script.
I know. A Girl Can Dream.
This is like one of the highest grossing films of the decade so far.
Yeah, so there's not going to be anything interesting. It has to appeal to everyone.
It does appeal to everyone.
Except me, yeah. They didn't get me.
Join the cult, Dan. You love Maverick. Maverick is your god. Look at Tom Cruise.
For the greater good. This is where the general calls in Tom Cruise. And they have a discussion about, well, soon there's not going to be any pilots.
Mm-hmm.
The general says, the pilots don't need to take a piss. And I wish Tom Cruise would have said, don't worry, I can shit myself. And I don't know why, I just find it really funny. If he said that, I was like, just, I can shit myself, don't worry. I don't need drones.
What?
I don't know. I was desperate to find some sort of comedy in this film. Most of my notes is, I don't care, and planes. So one of the ways I've entertained myself throughout this movie, coming up with new call signs.
Right.
Because I misheard one, which is he comes in and is like, my name is Femboy. I thought it was Femboy and not Fanboy. It's like Femboy, that's a great call sign.
What are you saying? Fan?
Femboy, it's what? Like female boy.
Oh, Femboy.
Femboy, yeah.
Right. Was there a Fanboy?
Yeah, there was a fan. Yeah, exactly.
I remember a fanboy.
It was one of the most important characters.
I genuinely think you're making that up.
No, a fanboy.
It wasn't fanboy. It was Bob. It was Hangman.
Yeah.
And Rooster. Those are the main ones.
I'm not saying it was one of the main ones. I'm just saying he was there.
There's no way.
He got a design helmet and everything. If you get a helmet designed, then you're one of the pack, all right?
As payback?
Yeah.
Fritz? Oh, there was Fanboy.
Fanboy.
Fanboy. I see. Even Fanboy is bad enough.
Yeah.
I see a fanboy of. You see a fanboy of J-pop.
Yeah. So here's my made-up ones.
Okay.
Cock ring. Scoliosis. Dingleberry.
I think they have to be two syllables. Just or one or two syllables, to be honest. So.
Maverick.
Oh, yeah. Maverick. No one says Maverick. Oh, no. Coyote. Coyote's there.
There you go. Cockring. Scoliosis.
Okay.
Dingleberry.
Right.
And vaginosis.
Okay.
And these are my made up ones. I was desperate to find some entertainment in this movie. Also, who designed their helmet?
Yeah, good question.
They got their own logos.
I guess there's like a personalization section.
Somewhere.
Of the Top Gun. In the Top Gun movie.
Yeah. It reminded me of, remember in Batman v Superman? There's a really weird scene. Batman and Wonder Woman are talking over Skype or something.
Right.
Genuinely. They're like, oh, I'm sending you these files of what I found in Lex Luthor's computer. It's all the Justice League members, but they have like logos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Lex Luthor designed logos for the Justice League. That's due diligence.
Okay. What would your call sign be?
Cockring.
It can't be Cockring. You would immediately get shot out of the sky by your own people. I'm too hungover to. I was just reading, like, things. To be fair, over there it says Valiant, which is a fantastic call sign.
Yeah, that one's really good, yeah.
I'm going with Valiant because I've read it on your boiler.
The Contrarian. There you go.
God, you can't have Contrarian.
But.
You
see, because.
As your call sign. It's got to be something cool sounding.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, and that's why it works for me specifically. This gentleman is the Contrarian. He's pretty sure flying the plane, but he'll present you with equally opposite opinions of you. Malibu is good as well.
Yeah, there you go. That's your cool sign.
Malibu. It's ironic. Because I'm so cool and laid back.
Because you love the coconut drink.
Yeah.
Anyway. Onwards, Malibu. My next note was Pete goes to the bar.
That lady is also part of the 40-year-old sequel club, which is they have to have a love interest that's been working the same job for 40 years, living in the same place, having the same dog. The dog is really weird.
Yeah, 40-year-old dog.
Yeah, how old is that dog? When did Top Gun came out?
86.
Jesus. It's like, oh, you've grown. It should be like skeleton.
It's all his grand daughter Doug.
I hope
grandson Doug.
It did like make me question, does this even take place in the like the modern day?
In the real world.
Yeah, because that dog especially. Surprising that they didn't give Tom Cruise a 19-year-old love interest like they usually do.
Yeah. Again, it was quite age appropriate.
One thing I kinda liked in the whole relationship, they have this very famous kind of like hot sex scene in the original.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, it kind of starts out like that, and they just have a conversation, like old people.
Yeah.
That was nice. It's like, bit of a subversion. You're not going to have creaky old sex.
I really enjoyed this scene, to be fair, where he goes to the bar.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, again, you could have had him walk in and be like, yeah, I'm top dog, Maverick. He goes, da-da-da-da-da-da. You want to go where everyone knows your name. Da, 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 da. And he could have been like this legend that people have heard of and really like are excited to see. But no one fucking knows who he is. And no one cares apart from the woman at the bar. Hangman's like, cheers, old timer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all throw him out of the bar. And I will say this, the only thing I really didn't like about this film, because this film is all about him being old and fairly useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him handing over to the next generation. What I really didn't like is in the end he was in the final mission.
Yeah, I don't think I like that either. They kind of pulled the rug on all the preparation they did.
Yeah, and it didn't make any sense because he like disobeys orders to fly the mission.
Yeah.
And they're like, Maverick, oh my god, you didn't follow the orders. You nearly cost us a plane because he bent the plane as well or something.
Yeah.
Going too fast. You bend the plane. Here's what I'm going to do to punish you. You're going to go on this super secret mission that everyone else wants to go on. Didn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, for me, mostly the narrative, it didn't make sense because you set up all these like teacher passing down to the next generation moments, and then no, he just goes anyway.
Yeah,
all this preparation and all this, I don't want to say character development, but all this time that we spent with these whatever characters is just useless now because most of them don't even come. You even forgot one of them.
Yep,
so that's kind of bullshit.
He keeps telling Miles Teller not to think.
Yeah,
you don't think up there. If you think, you die. What?
Don't think, just do.
Yep.
Is that what the screenwriter... Is that the screenwriter's motto?
I mean, obviously, your favourite scene in the original Top Gun...
Yeah.
...was the incredibly homoerotic beach volleyball scene.
Yes.
And this one paid homage to that.
Kind of, yeah.
Did you enjoy... Was there enough homoeroticism?
No.
No?
Come on, it's a staple of the franchise. Come on, man. What's this hetero washing shit? They do dedicate this movie to Tony Scott, who's the original director for Top Gun.
Okay.
He's the brother of Ridley Scott.
Okay.
And he killed himself. People assume he was like, maybe he was even out as gay, I don't know, but he had like problems with it. So if his film is dedicated to him, make it gay as shit. Make it the gayest movie ever gayed. And yeah, it was confusing. The whole American football, but every team is the offense.
Offense and defense at the same time.
Yeah.
Just like fighter pilots.
And that teaches them...
Teamwork.
Oh, okay. A very chaotic, unstructured game teaches them how to teach teamwork.
Yeah. It's like any kind of team building exercise. What did you want them to do, team building?
Do an escape room.
Do an escape room.
Yeah. Promote that synergy. Because you need structure for that, you know. I guess that they have the camaraderie, that they have some time off, but I don't think it would help the team building. I think team building would help if it was a genuine game and they all had to defeat like something together, you know,
like an escape room.
But if but the Sherlock themed escape room, can you imagine Hangman in there? This clue says I can't read.
Don't think, just do.
Don't think, just do.
At the door.
Yeah. They kick out of the door. I solved the puzzle. I solved the puzzle with my brain.
Don't think, just do. So they set it on fire.
Yeah.
With them locked inside.
Yeah.
Don't think, just do.
No, like, if you play American football and you're both offense and defense, you're just gonna... You should be more frustrated at this. You're the rules guy.
Makes perfect sense to me.
No.
Because they know the game. Like, I don't know.
No, they don't. Because that's not how the game is played.
Yeah, but they know their version of it.
Sure. I feel like it would just divulge into arguing about the roles.
Well, it divulges into everyone having a good time. And that's the point.
I think you're bullshitting at the point.
They have a good time shirtless on the beach while Tom Cruise watches over like a proud uncle.
Like a pervy uncle.
With an erection.
They should have been shirtless in the escape room.
He's a turn up oiled.
Sherlock Holmes, a beach mystery. By the way, that Hangman character, right?
Yep.
We talked about...
Glenn Powell.
Do you remember when we talked about Palm Springs? Just really reaching into my memory.
Do you remember when we talked about Palm Springs? No, that's the better question.
I remember one thing and one thing only.
Shouting at you endlessly about how you couldn't remember the fucking film.
This, by the way, this approaches that a little bit because it's just so forgettable. But it had that guy who's Superman in it. Superman and Lois, remember? That guy? Tyler Hoechlin?
Yes.
And we talked about how he looks handsome, but in a weird way. Mm-hmm. This guy is the same. It's like he looks like incest handsome.
Incest handsome?
Yeah. It looks like he's handsome, but also came from an incest.
I think we found your new call sign.
Yeah. Incest handsome. Ready for battle. Question for you.
Yeah.
Again, it's like practical manly man questions.
Yeah.
Rick.
There is no one more manly than me.
Not in this room. Maybe the dog.
Maybe the dog, yeah.
Maybe my female dog is more manly.
Than us. Yeah.
Why did the female jet driver... what's
pilot.
Pilot. Why did...
Immediately proving our point.
Why did the jet driver...
Jet driver. What? Like a bus driver.
Yeah. They do have to drive a little bit to go into the runway. Why did the only female pilot have
the road.
to get to Bob? Why did the only female pilot have the only guy in the back?
Oh, some of them did.
Did they?
Yeah.
It wasn't super obvious. And when it was with the females, they always made it obvious.
Mm-hmm. They made it obvious because they're the ones that are going to run the mission later in the film.
Yeah, I guess so. It felt weird.
They got no time for side characters.
I think the point was to make Bob a character, which didn't happen.
Yes, he's the laser guy, because that's what they need to do. They need to shoot the laser at the thing, and the laser tells the bomb where to go.
Yeah.
Why you can't just point the bomb at the hole and shoot it, I don't understand.
Yeah.
If you've got time to fly one plane, poke it with a laser, why can't you just shoot it?
To set it up, they have this mission where they have to zigzag between mountains.
Yep.
Which is already hard. And then they have to go into this valley, this really deep.
It's like the base of a mountain.
Base of a mountain and come up, and it's like really hard because pulling the plane up so hard puts so much G-force on them that they could die or pass out or whatever.
Yeah.
Why don't they just drive there? Would it be not easier to have like a reconnaissance mission? And then sneak in at some maybe the zigzag area, and then just drive from there and just leg it.
You would assume that they'd have people watching the bay and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah. I just feel like...
The idea is that the jets are really quick. So by the time they know what's going on, it's too late.
I have some remote-controlled drone.
But that's the whole point of this film, isn't it? Drones are bad.
Drones save lives and kill a lot of lives.
That's what I say.
I've noticed a mistake in this movie.
One.
A visual mistake. There's a point where someone's taking a selfie with someone.
Okay.
And then they show the phone to the camera. Like you can see the camera is just off. The phone is off. Take that, $1 billion movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool sign pedantic.
Pedantic. That would be like the logo. The Dan would be,
it would be bold.
Yeah.
Capital D in the middle of the word.
Yeah. K at the end. Pedantic. Hello, I'm pedantic. With a K, because I'm really cool. And I can correct your grammar. Val Kilmer.
Yes.
He's not very well in this film.
He's not very well in real life.
Yeah. And in this movie, he dies, the character.
Yep.
Which is borderline tasteless.
A little bit, yeah. I think in real life, he's on the mend as much as he can be.
Mm.
2015, he was diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
and he's had several medical things since then.
I just got one thing to say.
Okay.
In his funeral, like 4 fighter jets go by in the sky.
Yep.
It's like a taxpayer's nightmare. One guy died.
He's like a admiral. He's really high up in the military.
How expensive it is to run those fucking jets?
Well, you know, it can also be a training exercise. You know they actually do that, right? Like, you know it's an actual thing.
I do, and it's gross in real life too. Then that was the most gross kind of scene as well, just in the whole... Because if you just look at this film in a vacuum, like, Val Kilmer is not an important character in this film.
He's an important character to Maverick.
Yeah, but not for the narrative. That was the most kind of gross scene to me, that whole funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, so, like, militariness. That scene should have been cut out completely because it adds nothing.
It's the emotional effect that it has on Tom Cruise.
That's all I have to say to that. Just the firm grip of America's cock and just jerk it out. That's what it looked like to me.
Again, it was like there wasn't too much kind of like Americanness in that. I just thought it was a military funeral.
Don't like militarism and pro-militariness in these movies. Let's talk about the most important character in this movie, which is Miles Teller's mustache. Miles Teller's 80s mustache, which I couldn't take my eyes off.
A lot of people have 80s mustaches these days.
Yeah, I guess
it is
so.
It's coming back into fashion. Hipsters be everywhere.
It didn't really fit into this movie, though. Did you not get that idea?
Nah, I thought he was honouring his... I couldn't even finish the sentence. No, it looks really weird.
It does. Because, yeah, hipsters, there's hipsters, but would there be hipsters in fighter jet?
Hipsters are everywhere. You can throw a rock in anywhere in the UK and you can hit a hipster. Yeah. And please do.
Would it be like his actual complete exact style of the mustache his dad had?
He's like, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Because that's the only song his family knows.
Yeah.
His dad sings it and then he sings it.
Because everyone's got like a 40-year-old memory gap. There's nothing happened to them in the last 40 years. It's just 80s music, 80s bomber jackets, 80s bikes, 80s underwears. And then jump to now. And nothing happened in between.
The end mission. What a scene. What a beautifully shot scene. I thought this was very intense and it really brought you into kind of like, you know, the plane and I don't know what to call it. I'm so tired.
It really made the plane look good.
What's so cool when you bring someone into the world?
Birth. You realize?
I don't know. But yeah, you had a real feel for the environment, you know? It wasn't just kind of like green screen, bumping up and down.
Yeah.
Maverick, what are you going to do now? It was real kind of in the plane shit.
It was surprisingly easy to follow.
Okay.
I'll say that. Between the characters I don't care about and...
It was a really good thing, by the way, that Maverick picked the main actors in the film to fly the mission.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he just picked someone up from the back?
Fanboy.
Eagle, you're on. What?
Cockring. It's like, it'd be funny, it's like a character no one mentioned before.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah. Eagle, you're in. What?
And it's like a flashback, and it shows that he's been in every scene so far. We just didn't see him. Yeah, he's just standing there, waving.
So, yeah, mission goes well, mostly.
Mm.
The Maverick heroically gets hit. It saves Miles Teller's life. And Miles Teller gets the orders to go back to base and leave Tom Cruise to die in the field of snow.
In the field of insert country here.
In the country of...
Faketopia. Welcome to Faketopia. Where we can see no one's faces, there's no races.
Nope.
It was well done.
Yeah.
But cowardish as well.
And then Rooster goes Maverick. Dun dun dun. Shocker alert. Because Tom Cruise is standing there and a massive helicopter is about to shoot him out of the sky. And... Accurate.
Yeah.
Action. And then, yeah, so Rooster, he's there and he saved the day and he's got Maverick and he's fantastic. What a guy. Isn't he brilliant now? He's got an over... He gets hit. And then he goes down.
And then Maverick goes Rooster.
Maverick goes Rooster.
And starts going...
That's what I will say about this as well.
Mm.
It's just this whole bolted on adventure in the snow. It was unnecessary.
Yeah. I guess if I like anything in this movie, It is a bit of a cliche, but I think it fits this movie, is the mission goes wrong.
Okay.
And then they have to come up with like a creative idea on how to get out of it. And I like that they get out of it by using an old plane.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought you'd not like that.
Why not? It's like, it feels thematic.
Okay.
But with nothing else felt thematic so far. I was like, oh, old things.
Old things still work.
Old things still work.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. This is like Tom Cruise's impotence denial. My dick still works. I promise. Even though it was made in the 80s.
I can still get this plane up.
Yeah. I can still release my flares.
All my rockets still fire.
It's a bit creaky, but...
My favourite thing about that plane is that it was pedal powered. They kept cutting to like the floor and he was like pushing pedals. I wanted to see him really start like cycling as the plane went.
And the plane goes like, it starts flying like a bird.
The wings dip up and down.
Yeah.
So it takes off vertically. I think I heard you audibly groan when Hangman saved the day. Or you might have even said something like, oh, I wonder who's going to save him.
It was that, yeah. He was like, I wonder what's going to happen. His face looks like if you shrank down, he's just his face part on his head in Photoshop. He's like, he's got a tiny face and a big head.
That's pretty much the end of the film. He goes flying with Jennifer Connelly.
They have this epilogue scene where Tom Cruise is like, yes, Rooster, screw this bolt-on under the high.
Okay, yeah.
And then the daughter comes in.
And I thought to myself, all right, that's Top Gun 3. They'll do that in 10 years' time when she's in the Top Gun Academy.
Oh, she works at the same bar. Tom Cruise is going to look the same somehow. Scientology magic.
I think with that scene in Miles Teller, I genuinely thought like he was going to like do a ratchet thing and the other one was going to hand their hands touch and intertwine.
And then kiss.
Yeah, that was implied.
Yeah. They should have done more gay stuff. Let's go all out on here. You know? I guess the only thing to fear is the Chinese markets, which they don't want to disturb. Go gay or go broke. That's what I say.
Well, they would have gone broke if they had gone gay.
Yeah,
so.
True.
Right. I think we're going to end it there.
Ratings.
I'm scared. Ratings, yeah.
You say yours first.
I'm going to go 6.
Okay, wow. It's above, a lower than I imagine.
It's above the rewatch line. It's pushing a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing a 7. Because I do feel how you feel on a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's a very basic script. Mm-hmm. It's very predictable. It's not anything new.
Sure.
But I think it does what it does very well.
I don't think this movie will stand up the test of time very much.
I think it will. I think people love this film.
They're loving it right now. In this current cinema environment where everything is fake and everything is drawn out and everything is kind of cynical and lots of twists and everything. And this one is like a true dad movie.
Okay.
You know, you'd see that on the Father's Day stand in a supermarket. And there's not a lot of movies like that right now. And that's why I think it's extra popular.
Mm. So your rating?
Oh, shit. I don't know how to do this.
Well, what you do is you pick a number between 1 and 10.
Oh, okay.
You say that out loud. Based on your experience and how much you like the film.
Are we still okay with getting 8 clicks? I'll go with the 2.
2? Okay. Yeah. That was what I thought you were going to say, to be fair.
Yeah. It's well shot, okay acted, generic script, but mostly it just combines everything I hate in today's movies.
There we go. So what am I watching in revenge to this film?
Well, we're going to watch the popular film Partners.
Partners?
Yeah, you've never heard of Partners?
I've never heard of Partners.
Well, I don't know. Should I give you a hint?
Well, don't just give me a hint. You have to give the people listening it, because I imagine if I haven't heard of a film,
Probably no one has. It's going to be a trilogy between Samurai Cop, Fateful Findings, and Partners.
God.
Very special kind of movie. It's a cop movie made by a guy who teaches film.
Yeah.
Which enhances the comedy, as you'll see. Partners.
I am not looking forward to it.
I am.
Cool.
Cool.
Thank you for listening.
I'm sorry. Bye.
Bye.